Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you want to be. Oh, dare to step high and live like you're free. I said, color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Hello and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, October 19th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you, as always. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, No Worries, Mate, when I will be interviewing Joy Phoenix. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners, because I realize there are many things you could be doing at this time, and I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions on the phone line or writing in comments in the chat room. If you're on the phone lines and you want to ask a question or make a comment, just press #1 to let me know that you want to speak, and I'll get you on the air. If you're in the chat room, you just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll see them there, and then I will read them on the air, and we'll answer them for you. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens. So if your call is suddenly lost, all you need to do is just dial in again at the same number you dialed the first time, 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything because the shows are all taped and available for you immediately after the show. Well, maybe not immediately, but sometime after the show in on-demand episodes, usually within a few minutes, though. I am your author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant, Flora Brown. And I'm also a mom of four and a grandma of three. I recently retired after 40 years of teaching. I taught junior high through university levels. The last 20 years I spent teaching critical thinking, so that was very exciting, kept me on my toes. If you haven't already done so, I invite you to visit my website, Color Your Life Happy, where you can now invest in my book, Color Your Life Happy, if you're ready to make positive changes in your life. My book is available on Amazon.com and all other major booksellers. But when you order it from my website, you will get an autographed copy. Now, the book is full of stories, tips, activities, all of which will speak to your inner desire to get the life you want and deserve. Now, on this radio show, which is by the same name, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests. Now, these guests come from various fields, sometimes self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, and so on. Today, my guest, Joy Phoenix, is a life transformation specialist. And she's going to be sharing highlights from her book, No Worries, Mate. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about Joy. Hi, Joy, are you there?
G'day, mate. It's actually just Joy. I've learned that everything we say after the words I am has enormous power. So I am Joy.
You are Joy. Okay. I'm going to tell the listeners a little bit about you first, and then we'll get started. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Joy is an internationally acclaimed life transformation specialist. She's certified in more than a dozen different holistic health modalities. She's famous for her uncanny success in helping people overcome their challenges. She is the best-selling author of the book, No Worries, Mate, which comes with a money-back guarantee if it doesn't eliminate all worry at its source. So you certainly can't beat a deal like that. I am delighted to welcome Joy. Hi.
Thanks.
Again. Hi. And I want to jump right in and get started with questions, which I know the listeners probably have some of these questions in their minds. Now, eliminating worry, that's a pretty big claim to say that you're going to do, especially these days with all the problems we have in the world. Now, how do you hope to do that? How can you do that, eliminate worry?
Okay, well, for a start, it's actually, I think, because we have so many problems in the world that we can't afford to worry.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to understand, Flora, not worrying doesn't mean not caring.
Again?
To feel anxious, distressed.
There she is.
So basically, worry aggravates emotions like stress, makes problems much harder to deal with. And what the de-worrying process does is it doesn't eliminate problems.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is it frees you from worrying about them, and so it makes those problems much easier to handle.
Okay. So when you're saying eliminating worry, you're not telling people to not care.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I am doing the de-worrying process. It enables you to eliminate the aggravation of worry, which, I mean, I was actually raised to believe that we needed to worry about absolutely everything. And
I
don't know about
Laura,
were you raised along those lines?
Of course. I think a lot of us were.
Exactly. And we were taught, I don't know, maybe that worrying was important and would somehow keep bad things from happening. Don't
exactly.
ask me how this works. It actually doesn't. But like a lot of you, I just never thought to question it. And because everybody else believed it, I thought that, yes, we actually needed to worry. And for years and years, worry played a really big role in every part of my life. And while I wished often for less worry, I never stopped to think about how I could worry less. It was just a part of life.
Hmm. Aren't there some things that we actually need to worry about?
I think that what worry actually does is make those things that we're concerned about very much more difficult to deal with.
Hmm.
I created the de-worrying process as an alternative to going crazy from the worry that was actually destroying my life. With such uncertainty in the world, particularly since 9/11 and with all of the economic stuff that's going on right now, I think it's important that people are aware that there's another choice. I created the book, Flora, after the world's biggest drama queen moved in with me. And for 18 months, I lived on the verge of one catastrophe or disaster after another until I really thought I was going to go mad. And so I decided I can either ring the blokes in the white coats to come and fit me with one of those jackets with the extra long sleeves, or I can just sit and take a look and find out, is there anything? What am I doing? And as I reviewed that 18 months, I discovered something really profoundly shocking. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you what it was.
Well, hey, we want to know. Tell us what it was.
Not one of the things that I'd worried about ever actually happened. I mean, the small things, like my partner would get into this or my kid would get into that. That stuff went down. But the bottom line worries, the underlying worries that if this happened, then my whole life would fall apart and the world would destroy itself and I'd never recover, none of those. Somehow, even without me knowing how, everything unfolded in ways that I could cope. Has that ever happened to you? You've worried and worried and worried, and despite all of the negative energy that you've put into worrying, somehow or other, things turned out, even though you never know how?
Exactly, and I think that's the big secret about worry is that we have this unfortunate ability to create this drama in our own heads, and this drama always is bigger and more devastating than whatever actually happens. And unfortunately, like you say, we can spend so many years, months, years, a lifetime with this hanging over us, and it causes us stress that's unnecessary. Because as you say, things turn out okay and a lot less dramatic than we had envisioned.
Absolutely. I actually read a very interesting quote that hit me like a ton of bricks. There are only two things we can worry about.
Mm-hmm.
The things we can change, and there's no point in worrying about those because we can change them.
Exactly.
And the things we can't change, and there's no point in worrying about those because we can change them. And when I heard this, I was absolutely gobsmacked. I hadn't thought about it like that before. And the bizarre and sad thing was, it still wasn't enough to make me stop worrying.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was as if worrying made me feel like I was doing something useful, even though I, by that time, realized that the exact opposite was true.
Right.
And then, Flora, an astonishing thought struck me. I tell you, mate, I'm downright slow on the uptake sometimes. What if I actually did something useful instead of worrying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That worrying had taken up so much time and energy. I did the de-worrying question, or the worry questionnaire, that's on my website.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I had actually spent something like a third of my life was invested in worry. I was a world champion worrier, mate. I come from a long line of professional worriers. Worry just totally consumed me to the point where I was often too tired to do anything else.
Exactly. And that's the sad thing, is it saps you of your energy and it distracts you from doing the things you have control over.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly it. You mentioned your website. I want to get the listeners to know what that is right away. That you said there's a worry quiz on your website?
Yes, actually, there's okay. I just had my website revamped, and it was taken off. It should hopefully be up in the next day or so.
Okay.
The quiz actually is, I invite you to think about these right now,
okay.
Which is how much of your resources does worry actually consume? I have two questions that I'd like you to think about. Has worry ever actually made anything better for you?
No.
As a business person, most of my worries were around business at the time that I started working on the de-worrying questionnaire, and I realized, you know, worry had never actually given me a positive return on my investment.
Exactly.
And if we had all of our energy and our resources invested in a single portfolio, we wouldn't have invested in something that was going to drain them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Really bizarre. And so, hang on, let me open my book. The de-worrying questionnaire is, where are we? Okay. So begin by making a list of your worries.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And really begin to add up how much time do you actually invest in worrying every day?
Mm-hmm.
And include the time that's ripple affected or negatively impacted by worry.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask yourself, how much is your worry actually really costing you in dollars? How much is your time worth?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you taking any medications to alleviate worry? How much do they cost you over here, Chris?
That's true. Not to mention the side effects they may be having on your body.
Oh, my giddy aunt, that's a whole other thing. I'm doing a video at the moment called Clear Your Stress in Less Time Than It Takes to Find a Valium.
Say that again.
Clear stress in less time than it takes to find a Valium. I actually teach people how to clear their stress in 3 minutes or less, but that's a whole other radio show. We should do that.
Give us the website before.
Okay, I'm sorry. Of course, the website is an easy one to remember. It's experiencejoy.com.
Experiencejoy.com. Okay.
And if your listeners actually come to my website and drop me an email, I will send them an audio meditation using neurolinguistic programming and Ericksonian hypnosis that actually clears worry from your body.
Oh, okay. So after the show, we can go over to www.experiencejoy.com and just get your email and drop you a note.
Absolutely. And I will send you off that audio meditation.
It's
only 5 or 10 minutes. And the difference that you will notice before and after will blow your mind, quite frankly. It's one of the most powerful visualizations that I teach.
Well, I'm going over there right after the show, that's for sure. So do you want to tell us how you came to write the book? You mentioned the 18 months that you looked back at. What kinds of things had happened in your life that led you specifically to this book?
Well, bottom line, I guess it was I wrote it because I knew so many people that, like me, worry was really impacting negatively every single part of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I had had such outrageous success in my life using the process.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when I was in Australia, I'm a New Zealander, by the way, not an Australian. I know this accent sounds very similar. And I've actually spent many years in Australia. And at the time of doing the process, I was really struggling to support and to get a wee business going in the back bedroom of my home in Queensland. It was a computer support organization.
Uh-huh.
When I did the de-worrying process, I'll just tell you the first step, which is mind-boggling. What I did was I used worry as a trigger to get productive about creating solutions for whatever it was that I was concerned about.
Okay.
And because I had invested so much time and energy in worry, using worry as that trigger to get productive about solutions impacted my business life extraordinarily. Whenever I caught myself worrying about how to get clients, for example, for our new computer support business, I would use that as a trigger to throw myself into a media campaign and eventually had our name in almost every computer publication in Australia without it costing a penny.
Wow, okay, that's great.
It's way cool. I stopped worrying about how it was.
You put worry to a good use.
Pardon?
You put worry to good use. You used
I
it
put
as
worry
a
to
positive
good use.
Instead of a negative.
Exactly. You might as well. I mean, as
certainly.
You said, you've only got a limited amount of time and resources. And you can, when you use the trigger of worry to get productive about solutions, all kinds of miracles happened.
Mm, wonderful.
In 2 years of replacing worry with productivity, I went from struggling like mad to co-owning Australia's largest end-user computer support organization.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's wonderful. I know you have a lot of interesting stories, but I don't want to get off track of the de-worrying process.
Okay.
So when you say the de-worrying process, you just mentioned that it created impressive business success for you. So what the de-worrying process involves is the thing you said first was to let
okay,
worry.
Okay, so you're invited to, the book invites you to take your biggest, juiciest worry and take it through the process. And yes, one of the parts of the process is to use worry as a trigger to get productive about it.
Okay.
I also invite you to play a really interesting and rather horrifying game.
Okay.
Exactly. I want you just for a moment to imagine the worst thing that could possibly ever happen to you. What would be the most horrifying thing, the thing that you could never cope with?
The most horrifying thing to me would be completely dependent on someone else where I could not take care of myself physically, mentally, where I was just completely bedridden or unable to take care of myself because I'm very independent, and to have to just turn my life over to someone else completely. That's the most horrifying thing for me.
Ooh, that's a good one. It would be being tortured while watching my loved ones killed in front of me.
Yeah, that's scary.
So really allow yourself to let your imagination go completely wild while you're listening to that. And so that would be your 10 on your personal horror scale of 1 to 10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and now what's your biggest worry right now, Flora? Will you share that with us?
My biggest worry right now is, I guess, making the transition. I am in the process of making the transition from being a teacher, I retired, to being a an inspirational speaker. So okay. I guess my greatest worry is to be able to speak to people and reach their hearts, make a difference, versus lecture to them, just giving them information, because that's what I did, you know, as a teacher, although I hope my teaching was enjoyable and entertaining too. But I guess my biggest concern right now is to, and I don't call it worry because I'm doing something about it, but I guess, you know, some people could call it worry. I want to be an engaging and entertaining and inspiring speaker versus just, you know, a teacher handing out information. That's my biggest concern. And then, of course, getting engagements, speaking engagements and coaching clients for my new, because I'm in a new endeavor compared to what I was doing in my teaching career.
Okay, cool. So your biggest worry is about being the most successful speaker that you can possibly be.
Exactly.
And now you know what your 10 on a horror scale is. Mm-hmm. Where would that worry rate?
Which, the one about the speaker?
Yeah.
As compared to the other one? We're putting them all on a scale?
Exactly. And I want you
on the same scale.
Because, exactly, it really is all relative. We need to get things in perspective.
Okay.
And sorry, Flora, I didn't mean to.
Oh, I'm sorry. If we put the one about being completely unable to care for myself on the scale, that would be a 10 for me.
That would be a 10.
But the one about being a speaker, and that one isn't as high because I have control over that one, and I think maybe it would be down 6 or 5.
Wow, really? So your worry about being a speaker would be a 5 or a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being completely incapacitated?
Well, being a certain kind of speaker. You know, I already am a speaker. But just being the most engaging, entertaining, and inspiring speaker possible, that's the part of it I worry about. Yeah, I'm not as concerned about it only because I'm doing something about it.
That's the biggest thing, you know. The very first part about it is, can you do anything about it? If not, choose a worry that you can do something about.
So then that takes the other one off the scale because, you know, I cannot do anything about the first one, except take good care of my health and my mental state.
Exactly. And again, when we switch focus, I think the biggest part for you would be concern about how am I going to do this to trigger yourself into finding productive ways to make it happen, which you're already doing.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of people, our focus is really in I invite the listeners just for a moment to have a look at what their worry is. Put it in the palm of your hand. In your case, Flora, it's, let's say, you know, what if I can't, you know, be the best speaker that I possibly can be? Would that be fair?
Okay, sure.
Okay. So just for a moment, I want you to turn your hand over so that worry falls out and look at the other side of your palm. Look at the back of your hand.
Okay, I'm looking.
What would the exact opposite of that worry be?
That I would be the worst speaker ever and I'd get booed off the stage.
No. That's worrying. So what would the exact opposite of I may not be able to be the best speaker I can be? It would be that I would be absolutely the best speaker that I could possibly be. We now know what one you want to drop away.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I would be the most dynamic speaker ever, and people would be clamoring to hire me to come and speak to their club, their group, their organization, their company. Okay. That's the opposite.
Well, having heard you speak, I know that there's an equally valid chance of that being true, but is there any chance at all that that might be an equally possible truth?
Yes. The opposite of worry?
Mm-hmm.
The last one? Sure.
And how do you feel when you think that thought?
I'm very happy, elated. I feel good when I think about the opposite of the worry, and that is you're talking about being the most dynamic speaker, whatever. Yes, I feel very good and relieved.
Because and how do you feel when you have the thought that there's a chance that you might not be all you need to be as far as a speaker goes?
Oh, I think I feel frustrated because I know that it's possible. So if I'm not there yet, it would frustrate me to not have the key, the answer, the enough practice or whatever I need it to accomplish that.
And which thought is excellent? And which thought is more likely to take you to where you want to go?
The positive thought, of course.
I know, it's bizarre, isn't it? Fortunately, it's only a thought, and a thought can be changed. A lot of people don't realize that they can change their thoughts.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can I share a story with you about how I used a particular process that we just went through in my own life after the book was about to be released?
Mm-hmm.
It had been divinely inspired from the moment of its inception, and my mentor, Joe Vitale, who you might know from The Secret,
mm-hmm.
Had fallen in love with the book and had showed me how to make it an internationally acclaimed bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had put all of my eggs in this basket. And then 2 days before the launch, I was sitting in a canvas swing in a friend's place, and the bolt holding the swing sheared off and dropped me several feet onto a concrete ledge.
Ooh.
Landed on my tailbone and cracked my spine like a whip.
Oh.
C1 and C2 were out so far that they were impairing cognitive thought and vision.
Oh.
And the MRIs and the x-rays said I'd be out for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything got put on hold. I was absolutely furious with God. You know, are you out of your mind? We go to all this trouble to get this book out, and then this happens just
yes.
days before the launch? Well, what are you thinking? I clearly don't know what it is that I'm supposed to be doing or how I'm supposed to be promoting this book. So just show me. Don't even tell me. Just make it happen for me.
That's right.
Oh, Flora, be careful what you wish for.
Uh-oh.
Never, never looks the way you think it will.
Mm.
And so it was that very shortly after I recovered, actually on the 12th of May, I kissed my then 13-year-old daughter goodbye. We were living in a beautiful little home in Austin, Texas, and I sent her off to school, and I said, I'll be home to tuck you in tonight. And I went to Nuevo Laredo for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to come back in, a computer said that my paperwork wasn't in order, and my New Zealand visitor's visa was cancelled. And I was told that I could reapply again in a year.
Mm. Oh.
I had only the clothes I walked across the border in. I knew no one in Mexico. I spoke no Spanish. My 13-year-old daughter was waiting for me to come home.
Oh, no.
It seemed that upstairs management had decided that the best way for me to promote the de-worrying process was to live it under these circumstances and write a whole nother book about how I used it to survive.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a challenge. In fact, that's the book that's going to be coming out this year.
Oh, my goodness.
One of the first parts of the process is I very strongly believe that nothing that happens to you matters anywhere near as much as how you choose to feel about what happens, because it's
okay.
This choice that matters, because it's this choice that determines what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be lying to you if I told you that I thought I had any choice at all about how I was going to feel that night.
Okay.
But by the next morning, I realized that unless I brought my thoughts hard under control, because
mm-hmm.
all of my thoughts were centered around this is the worst thing that could happen to me, I can't survive this.
Mm.
And when you follow your thoughts around whatever your worry is to their natural conclusion, you'll almost always find that they never take you to anywhere you want to go.
Mm. Okay.
And so I looked at those thoughts. This is the worst thing that could happen to me. And I did this part of the process. I put them in the palm of my hand, and I turned my hand over, and I looked at the back of my hand and said, okay, what's the exact opposite to that thought, that this is the worst that could happen to me? And it was, this is the best thing that could happen to me. And quite frankly, I couldn't pay that because it didn't feel like a good thing. You know,
it
I'm a woman alone in the scariest quarter town around. It was just... And so I searched around that thought until I found something that I could accept as equally true, because that's a very important part of the process. You have to be able to find a thought that you know at least has a tiny chance of being equally true. Mm. And it was, this is a miracle that I don't understand yet.
Mm, okay. I like
and
that.
It was that thought that led me out of hell in Nuevo Laredo to prosperity and success in Puerto Vallarta in a year.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's that book that's coming out right now.
Oh, okay.
So I'm inviting your listeners to take a worry, put it in the palm of their hand,
mm-hmm.
and look at the thought that's around it, whether it's, I don't know if I can be the best whatever I can be,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or to this is the worst thing that could happen to me. Turn that thought over and ask, what's the exact opposite of that thought? And ask yourself, is there any chance, even the tiniest possibility, that this alternative thought could have any chance of being as true?
Mm.
And look and see which thought is more likely to take you to the reality that it is that you want to bring into your life. Because it really is only a thought, and a thought can be changed.
Oh, it's not. That's
it has
right.
to be if you're
That's
going to
right.
change your experience.
Now, how do you apply this to things like relationships or worrying about your children? That's a big one that a lot of parents spend time on.
Oh, my giddy aunt. Can you imagine how worried I was about my child?
I know.
Oh, I know. Well, she actually went to, she was going to live with her dad at the end of summer anyway, so my community stepped in, just in case you're wondering. So I used to tell my daughter the same thing that my mother told me, which is, I love you and so I'll always worry about you.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started doing this process, I realized, you know, I'm basically throwing curses at my child. What I'm doing is I'm telling her, I don't think you can do this, baby.
That's
I don't
right,
think
right.
you're up for it.
That's right.
Which is not the message that I wanted to send. And so, again, I what I do now when I have concern for anybody that I love
mm-hmm.
is I use that trigger of concern to focus positive, uplifting energy on them. And I say to them, you know what, I don't know why you've created this situation, but I do know you. And I do know that you are an incredibly resourceful person, and I believe that you've created this for your own growth. So I'm here for you if you need me and when you need me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any doubt at all that you can cope with this, none
That's
whatsoever.
Right.
How much more productive and helpful is that, do you reckon, Flora?
That is very empowering. That's
oh,
very
my gosh.
Empowering.
It was interesting to me when I found myself in this Nuevo Laredo situation.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my friends were incredible. The reason that I was able to move myself out of this horror and this fear
mm-hmm.
was because I had people writing to me. I think my friend Lamar was the most powerful message. He said, you know, I don't know why this has happened, but I can't make myself be concerned because I have this overwhelming feeling that the universe had this in mind for you and that there's huge miracles going to come from it.
Wow.
You know, and every single note that I received from my community and every single message was, we believe in you. We're here for you, and we believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I only had one person say, oh, no, you must be devastated. You know, it wasn't helpful.
this gets me to another question about other people, because in your case, you just shared that the majority of the people were sending you positive messages, which, of course, help because they help to emphasize the power that you have to solve your own problem. But what about other people who are discouraging or who are, you know, feeding on the negative and creating doubt? What do you do about those people in your life?
Can I be honest? You're not going to like it.
Certainly.
I don't have those people in my life.
There you go. That's what I was thinking.
It's bottom line. I can't afford those people in my life. And you know, that's hard because sometimes those people are your family.
Very much so. They often are your family.
Exactly. Sure. In which case, you know, sometimes, and I'm probably going to get hate mail for this one, sometimes you just have to say thank you so much for all of those experiences. I'm not sure why I came into this family, but I know that it's probably given me many gifts like courage and empathy and compassion, and thanks for those. Bye now. And
well, I think you were attending that seminar with me where the speaker said something about the people who stress you in your life have names like mother, father, brother, sister. And it's true. And some of them are quite toxic. You really have to, my view is you have to get them out of your life, just as you wouldn't let toxic fumes fill up your house because you know they would kill you. You can't let these toxic people have any more contact or influence on you than necessary, because it doesn't help you. Just as worrying yourself doesn't help, having other people bring in and accentuate worry doesn't help as well. It doesn't get you to where you want to go.
No, and it's very important. Actually, a big part of my work in the world is teaching people how to protect themselves from psychic vampires and which is basically what they are. You know,
psychic
and
vampires. I like
psychic
that.
Vampires, the people that suck the life out of you.
Yes, you know, right.
It's important to learn how to protect yourself against these people. And if you have to have them in your life, if they're like your kid or something, then to be able to change your focus and switch your awareness round to knowing, okay, I'm going to use my tools to be able to cope with this person, because when I can remain unaffected by this particular person, I know I can do anything. Mm-hmm. I'll have graduated. I'll have a party.
Well, I've had that experience in my own family with one of my children who's very dramatic and loves to share these dramatic stories of things that have happened to her that used to make me gasp. I would go, oh, you know. And finally, I have matured to the point where she can share something with me, and I can say, okay, well, I need to go now, and it was great hearing from you. I'm so proud of myself because I realize that that's part of her MO, the whole dramatic thing. Mm. And it also, I had to learn that if I took on the worry and the stress over what had happened to her or what might happen. Later, after it was completely over, it was still in my head, and she had forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would ask, well, how did things work out the other day? And she would go, what? Well, you told me that, you know, your car blew up or this happened or that happened. Well, what was the result? Oh, said, oh, I've forgotten about that. You know, they will, people like to drop these bombs on you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you let
them. And when you can say, you know what, baby, I've got no idea why you're creating this, but I've seen
right.
that you can get yourself out of anything. I'm here if you need me.
I've got to remember that. But I didn't have those exact words to say at the time, but I have reached the point where I don't get affected, and I know I've reached it because I don't get that little pain in my stomach, you know, little abdominal, that little grip that you get in your stomach when something is happening to your child, or you think.
It's true,
and,
or to anybody that you love. You know, we want the people that we love to be happy, but, like, I know you've noticed this, some people are only happy when they're miserable.
Exactly. That's their
And
happiness.
We need to be able to say to ourselves, okay, fine, I now honor and accept that person to the point where I can be happy that they're miserable.
Because that's what seems to give them some sense of control or fulfillment or whatever it does.
And not need to change them.
Exactly, exactly.
That's the biggest thing. Oh, until we get to that point, it's just such a headache, isn't it?
Well, you said a couple of things that I'm going to remember, and one of them is your response to when something happens, and you said, "This is a miracle I don't understand yet," especially when it's happened after you. Huh?
I actually use that quite a bit because I found, Flora, have you discovered this too, that you look back on your life and everything that you thought was just this huge, horrifying disaster, actually mm-hmm. you can look back and go, oh, so that's why.
And not only that, you know what I've discovered is those are some of people's fondest memories. When you ask people to relate some of the highlights of their lives, typically, they relate things that were challenges, where they overcame something.
Mm-hmm.
And the times when everything went perfectly smoothly are not the times they remember. They
mm-hmm.
remember the times when they overcame a challenge.
Absolutely not.
Those are the things you remember.
Exactly. Exactly, because those are the things that make us grow into the people that we are. And so what I've learned to do, and it sounds like you've learned how to do it too, is basically when you come across a huge challenge or what you perceive to be an obstacle in your life, you can actually forward project to a time in a year from now and go, is this still going to matter in a year from now?
Exactly. Matter of fact, I have a line in my book that says, if it's going to be funny later, it's funny now.
Nice.
Because there are some things that we, when we relate back to them, especially things that involved my kids where I got very upset over something or another, and now we laugh at them because they're hilarious now. But wouldn't it be great if we could laugh at those things when they happen? And you have to grow to that point because when you start as a parent, you're still on the programming of your parents. You know, the way they parent it, and we have to grow in to finding our own way. We're about 3 minutes away from the end of the show, and I just want to make sure that people know your website. I'm going to say it again, www.experiencejoy.com. And all of you listeners who are on the air today or listen right after, Joy is offering a special offer, an audio meditation. So be sure to go over there and send her a request for this. This is free, and it's going to be life-changing. As we're nearing the end of the show today, do you have any closing words for us, Joy?
Well, I just want to say thank you very much for having me on the show. I needn't have worried about it. I didn't. you're such
that's
a lovely host,
the Flora. Author of No Worries, mate.
Exactly.
You might have to go read your book.
Yeah, I put aside my notes and then I just chatted and it was all good. I did read my book. it's a process that's ongoing.
It's ongoing.
I
have to read mine too every now and then. I have to read my book again.
Definitely. So, yes, experiencejoy.com is an easy one to remember, and I'd be delighted to send your listeners that meditation because it really, you know, worry creates sickness in you. It just does. I've worried myself sick on more than one occasion, and if you've done that too, then please let me just send you this free gift so that you don't have to do that anymore because it's nasty.
Yes, that's right. It's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on. And I want to thank all the listeners, too, for tuning in. I invite everyone to join me again next Monday, October 26th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, where we're going to have another exciting show. Let me remind you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, not only to get my book, but I have a free newsletter you can sign up for over there. And other things of interest. You'll see over in the left column a variety of things. There's a link to my blog, all kinds of wonderful stuff I'm continually adding to my site. So please go over there. Also remember to go to Joy's site, experiencejoy.com, get your free audio meditation. I'm your host, Flora Brown, Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm going to ask everyone to have a blessed week And remember,
color, color your life happy.
Color.